This is Nitro Radio.
Relax when all is dark, and all your daytime worries engulf you. In the dead of night, expanding your mind to the greater world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hours of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, who will you be tonight?
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
This is Nitro Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to a special two-hour edition of Night Talk Radio Live. I am your host, Colin Knight, and riding shotgun with me tonight is co-host Hugh Mack. Today is a historical day. December the 7th, 1941, the day the United States entered the Second World War after the sneak attack and bombing of Pearl Harbor, a moment in history which changed the face of the free world forever. On this historical night, we are honored to present to you a two-hour live special featuring two very diverse guests. Hour one, Dirk Vandeplug, a fellow Canadian and publisher of the premier North American website,
UFODigest.com.
And in hour two, Dr. Rita Louise, a mind, body, and soul healer specialist. It does promise to be a very interesting show. So let's settle in, get comfortable, find your favorite refreshment, smoke 'em if you got 'em, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dirk Vandeplug.
UFODigest.com.
Wanting to interact with our guest?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And indeed, it is a day that you'll live in infamy. It's December the 7th, 2013. And, of course, we remember back into history all of the dynamic happenings that changed the world as we knew it then and changed it into the world as we know it now. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Colin Knight. Now, my co-host, who normally rides shotgun with me, is under the weather. We are experiencing an incredible cold spell in Calgary. Currently it is minus 18 degrees Celsius. That's 3 degrees Fahrenheit for our American friends. We are broadcasting live from the broadcast bunker deep under the frozen tundra of the Canadian Rockies. And before we get into the chat with Dirk, I have to make a correction. I screwed up his name as usual, and I've known him several years. Dirk Vandeplug, not Vandeplug. So I start off with an apology. UFODigest.com, a great website. If you're following along out there in the big bad world of the internet, we invite you to go to www.UFODigest.com. And, of course, if you're in Canada, UFODigest.ca for the Canadian version. Let's do the shout-outs to Beth, the Southeast Brickie's much better half. Season's greetings. I do hope that Santa will be kind to you and yours this year. And the Scottish lass, we hope things are settling down for you and look forward to being able to manage a coffee soon, I hope. And to the BC Dreamcatcher, I hope Santa is good to you this year. That depends, of course. Have you been naughty or have you been nice? Or is naughty really nice? And Sandy from L.A., I was about to make fun of you that you would never know what it's like to throw snowballs. But according to the weather that I'm seeing on our networks here, California's got snow. In fact, three homeless people passed away last night from frostbite and the temperatures. The southwest United States, of course, are getting hit hard with a great deal of cold weather, as we are experiencing in Alberta, Canada. Now, Dirk is from Ontario, and he's over in God's country on a bay on one of the big lakes. Pretty impressive, pretty impressive. The temperatures, as we mentioned, minus 18 degrees Celsius in Calgary. The winter weather in Canada, U.S., Scotland, and Northern England, all being freaky. 232-kilometer winds in northeastern Scotland were logged yesterday. 30,000 people have been evacuated. 40-foot sea swells crashing beach property and eroding the land. Hypothermia in California, snow in Texas, highway deaths from snow and ice, and Al Gore continues to talk about global warming. Tonight's guest is, of course, Dirk from UFODigest.com. As we prepare for the Christmas festivities, yes, I said Christmas festivities, we ask all who listen to our broadcast to lend a helping hand, no matter how small, to those who have less than we do. Maybe donate some winter coats or boots or gloves or scarves. Maybe donate to your local food banks. Or give a few hours of time to charity. No matter how small your act of charity, it will be received with gratitude by those who are struggling this Christmas season. So first guest up tonight, Dirk van der Plug with UFODigest.com. Good evening, Dirk. Welcome to Night Talk.
It's a pleasure to be on Night Talk.
It's great for you to, for us to finally get you here. I know we've been talking about this for a couple of years, and I'm glad our calendars finally came together so we could do this. Now, you're headquartered in Ontario, Canada, and we were talking just before we went to air. You're getting fairly seasonal weather out there with not too much muss and fuss right now.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky. The bay we live in is kind of defaulted, I guess. We're 30 minutes from Buffalo, but we don't get the deep cold, the lake effect cold that affects Buffalo, and we don't get anywhere near the snowfall. In fact, the last 2 years, we've got hardly no snow at all.
No, you make me sick.
Yeah, I bought a snowblower 2 years ago.
Oh, really? Well, you see, that's what does it, right?
Use
I
it.
Mean, yeah, you know. Yeah, I bought a car heater, and I've been using it, trust me. So, UFO Digest. I gotta tell you, Dirk, it's one of the premier websites that we go to on a regular basis to get information. And, you know, you've got our paranormal information people crawling all over that on a regular basis. Now, how did UFO Digest become a reality? What got you to the point of saying, well, I need to put all this information together?
Well, basically, my background is publishing.
Okay.
I worked for the Toronto Star. I worked for the Hamilton Spectator. I was the publisher of various travel magazines, electronic magazines. And then one day I decided that publishing, this will just keep you bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of paper was just too much. It was just incredibly expensive. And the Internet came about. So I decided to try my hand at it. In 1995, we put our first website up. It was called Shadow Mag. And then 3 years later, 1998, I started UFO Digest,
mm-hmm.
More or less a hobby. And then around 2005, we took it to the next serious level where I got a back end and everything. And we went to a database rather than HTML.
Right.
And I've been constantly updating it and upgrading it ever since then. And I really appreciate your compliment there. It is one of the best ones out there.
Oh, without doubt it is. The reason I say that is because by the time you publish the information is clean. It's been vetted, checked, and it's not just speculation and just, you know, some crazy in southwest Texas saw a blip in the sky and decided to call it a UFO. The information that's on your website is nice and clean, and it comes from all walks of life. And the submissions from the contributors is amazing. I love the newsletter. It comes right into my mailbox. So, you know, the lazy Englishman doesn't have to go searching for the information. It comes to me. So I'm pretty impressed with that. But what actually got you into UFOs? There must have been something that triggered your desire to chase this kind of information.
Eric von Däniken.
Oh, really?
That was my inspiration. Absolutely.
Chariot of the Gods. Chariot of the Gods. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
From that day
yeah.
on, not only was I interested in UFOs, I was interested in ancient civilizations and the possible tie-ins that they were our creators, basically.
Right.
And I firmly believe that to this day, that he was right. Not in all his conclusions, but his general theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's built on that over the last 20 years.
I think so, too. I was actually watching an alien special on the History Channel here today, as a matter of fact, and they were tying in the Anunnaki, and they were tying in the pharaohs, and 3,200 years before BC, when all of a sudden they went from 100 deities down to one sun god, and it was just fascinating how they were putting it together, and it makes sense of why these ancient monuments around the world all have the similar appearance, and yet we don't know what they do.
That's true. They could all be powerhouses. They could
be
transformers. We don't know what they are. Stargates.
We had a gentleman on Night Zone, the previous show, about 5-6 years ago, and his theory was that the Great Pyramid of Giza was actually a water pressure powerhouse, because apparently there was a bay of water around the Sphinx and the likes, and that it was actually a pressure pump, if you will, of water that created power, that created this, that created that. It's quite fascinating how it all came about, and I tend to agree with you, Dirk. You know, I think there's so much we don't know, and why we don't know it, I'm not quite sure, but it's all aiming at one general direction now. How can a civilization that far back in our history be so precise in their measurement, be so precise in their building systems, and to be able to move thousands of tons of rock with no mechanical means whatsoever?
That
we know of, exactly.
Yeah.
That we know of, you know, and the temples of Machu Picchu and all through there, you know, that apparently the measurement of bricks is so tight that you still can't slide a piece of paper between the blocks. It is that perfect.
I was there last year.
Oh, you? And there's we can't even do that to this day. So
it's incredible,
you know,
the technology that they must have had.
Yeah.
They've got they got blocks in the Great Wall. Not the Great Wall, I'm sorry, in the Temple Mount.
Right.
Which are over 250 tons each. 1,000 tons each.
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly move them in a million years today with today's technology.
No. No.
Since we're on this topic, I want to mention one thing.
Yeah.
Von Däniken just put out a new book called Remnants of the Gods.
Okay.
And the underlying theme of the book is the more archaeology you do, the more digging you actually do in the earth, mm-hmm. the more technology you discover further down. You start off at like a Stone Age level with bricks and mortar. Then you go down to blocks. Then you go down to these building stones. And the deeper you go, the more technology you discover, as opposed to the opposite, which one would expect.
Mm-hmm. And was this done purposefully, do you think? Or is it just the existence of Earth growing literally from meteorite impacts and volcanoes and the likes?
Well, I firmly believe that we were seeded by some civilization. I happen to believe it was the Anunnaki, but where our DNA was definitely altered, and slave race was made out of Homo sapien, and that was us, or Homo erectus, and that was us.
Right. Yes, there is some theory supporting that. Recently, they did a DNA sample on the remains of a Homo erectus, I think it was, or it may have even been a Neanderthal, and they actually found remnants of coding that is in our DNA today, and right. it could not have got there by natural means. And let's face it, we have a whole whack of genomes still in our system that the scientists have no idea what they're doing there, or what they do, or what value they are. They're just there in dormancy, but they are there. So I do tend to agree with you. The Anunnaki, the story of the Anunnaki and the historical remnants that we've managed to glean together from the Dead Sea Scrolls and from the Book of Enoch and the likes and on and on and on, do tend to support that there was a super race of some kind that did most definitely change the Earth's course of history. And I'm just wondering, you know, in according to the Bible, there's a second coming. According to the Bible, that sooner or later we are going to know the truth of who our God is, or our Creator, or our being is. And I'm just wondering, according to the Bible, there are supposedly seven seals, seven markers, and all of this good thing. And I really don't know where we are on that time frame, but I would hope it would be in my lifetime, but probably...
Why would you think it's true?
Why would you think any of it's true? Well, I just think, I've kind of gone through that contemplation myself, I'll be honest with you, Dirk. I thought to myself, well, what happens if I buried a Playboy today and it got dug up 20,000 years from now? What would we make of it? But I guess it's the need to want to be part of something bigger than we are.
Need to not want to be alone.
Yeah, I think it's ingrained in
entirely
us for that.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so,
we need the cushion. The cushion is that there's somebody out there to protect us. We're not afraid. We're not alone in the dark.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think extraterrestrials are angels, are demons, are the bumps they are the things that go bump in the night.
Mm-hmm.
That is our fear, is the extraterrestrials. They've been around here for millions of years, long before us probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what everything boils down to. I ask myself, how can there be a God? How can there be a devil? How can there be a demon? And how can there be an extraterrestrial? How can there be a gray who masquerades as these people?
Right.
What about the fairies, the leprechauns?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They all have to be connected. Either they're all real or they're not real. Or somebody is a shapeshifter.
Right.
And I believe they're shapeshifters.
And I believe
that explains pretty well everything.
Yeah, and every culture has something. You know, the chupacabra, the deities of India, they all have something of the puzzle, if you will. And I do agree with you. I do think that that we are being are visited, and I do believe that there is something on Earth that is molding our thinking and our process. But my question to you...
The Garden of Eden, eh?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
My question to you, Dirk, is what is your opinion with all of the information that you receive on a weekly basis that makes it to the UFO Digest? What is your opinion on the various dimensional thought processes that ghosts are actually just in another dimension and that they are as alive as we are?
I think maybe extraterrestrials are just as are probably from another dimension as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole thing could be time. It could be dimensional. Time
right.
and space, they say, are relative, and they're all flexible. So if you could learn how to control one, then maybe that'll lead you or give you the ability to control time and space and distance. And that would be pretty interesting thing.
And I think the interesting thing, too, is that we measure everything, including paranormal UFO, based on man's understanding of time.
That's right.
And I think our understanding of time is so archaic and so basic in comparison to somebody, say, from another dimension that may could be 100,000, 200,000, a million years ahead of us in their growth stages, that we would have no understanding of how this and that happens, right?
Right. You're familiar with the TV series Stargate?
Yes.
Yeah. I think if you can move eventually and control a Stargate to move between the different galaxies, then why wouldn't that automatically shift time as well? You'd have to have another setting, which would be time.
True.
It's no good to arrive at a planet 10,000 years in an ice age or something.
Right.
So they'd have to have some knowledge. That's why they send robots through, I guess, but you lose a lot of them eventually.
Yeah.
But, I think you're absolutely right, that there has to be a time quotation with the travel as well. So time shifting, you're right. They could be us from the future, or they could be another race from the past, or from some other place in space.
And interesting you should say that, because I received a manuscript, and I won't say who it's from right now because we're negotiating to get them on the air. But basically the premise of the story is that what we see in the skies as UFOs is actually ourselves in the future coming back to understand what happened. Not to change time, but to understand what happened and why Earth became what it became. Whether that's good or bad.
I've heard that theory from an awful lot of mediums and people that believe they're being contacted by extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
They seem to think, and I really don't have an opinion on it one way or the other, that these are souls of other races
mm-hmm.
coming to Earth.
Mm. Now with UFO... Yeah, with UFO Digest, what would you say would be the most influx? What stories would be the largest contingency that you get? Would it be UFOs, or is it ghosts and paranormal?
Oh, it's by far UFOs. And there's two categories. One is sighting UFOs, and the second one, which is growing in number, which is scary, really scary, is the alien abduction.
Yeah. Yeah, that and definitely does seem to be picking up, doesn't it?
It's family-related. It's family lines. It's genetics. Intergenerational.
Yeah, intergenerational, I was going to say, because I've read a number of stories where this happened to their grandparents, and this happened to their parents, and now to them, and they're concerned for their children now, and their grandchildren, and that they seem to be the guinea pigs of what happens if we do this to them, what happens if we do that to them.
That's right.
And you have up on your site, L.A. Mazzulli, the Watchers.
Yeah.
We had Mr. Mazzulli on the beginning of the year, or maybe the end of last year, and we did the Watchers when the video first came out. And I have to tell you that that man is on the money. He is so on the money that I even questioned how he was getting his information, that he was piped in extraterrestrially to understand what was going on with Earth, because his information was so tight, so quantitative regarding the implants and regarding what was happening to people and why they were happening and how they were happening. And
put out Watchers 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's by far I don't want to give him a plug necessarily, but it's the best video I've ever seen of the proof of UFOs.
It is, yeah, it is absolutely. He's done a lot of work, and hats off to him, because, as you know, there's not a great deal of money in this world when you're dealing with paranormal and UFO. You're not going to get rich quick.
Even but, if you're successful, you're not going to get rich quick. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, but unfortunately, with that genre comes a lot of people that are just in it for the money, and some of them do get rich quick from putting out a bunch of garbage that people swallow wholeheartedly, and you know, it's unfortunate that with such a paranormal and extraterrestrial, that we have to also put up with the Shylocks and the snake oil salesmen.
It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Yeah.
But I think most people out there are credible.
I think for the most part,
channeler,
yes.
And I have nothing wrong with channelers. I just particularly don't believe the message that they give us.
Right.
And, I don't believe anybody is communicating with them, telling us peace and love, and then they're going to come and do all these wonderful things like cure cancer and make sure nobody starves on the earth again.
Right, right. No,
I think they're a positive force.
Yeah, I think if you, you know, if you have any form of religious upbringing or any form of belief of a creator, then the creator has given us the answers. We have those abilities on earth to cure anything. The plant life, the chemicals, it is all here. We just have to learn how to do it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it's a natural pharmacy.
It's out there. We just have to learn how to interpret it.
Exactly. I think the answers are all there. And I think a lot of the illnesses that we create, we do literally create them. You know, there's a big story going on now that they're pushing that processed meat is harmful to the human body, and that it's slowly killing us, and yet it's taking over most of the food chain. You know, there's those kind of talks, and you never know. Do you stop eating meat and become a vegetarian, or are we carnivores and do we need meat? And there's all of those questions that are out there to have a better life, and yet it's so easy to go down to the pharmacy and pick up a pill and pop that pill, rather than allow the natural rhythms and the natural life to break that spell, if you will. And it's unfortunate.
I think one of the biggest things we've learned over the last 20 years, I guess, is not to eat a lot of bread, wheat, potatoes. That'll poison you just as much as anything. And I'm 65, and I had 5 bypasses done 2 years ago.
Oh,
and I actually feel better now than I felt in 20 years. Seriously.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And one of the things I had to do was quit smoking, of course. 5 years ago I did that, but then you got to really watch what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in my life, I was made to be aware of what I ate.
But yeah,
and I think if we all were better at doing that, we'd have far less dietary problems and disease. And I think a lot of people are, because of some kind of awakenness, are learning these lessons without having to go through what I went through.
Right.
Just because they're going out and seeking the answers themselves to live a better life.
Yeah. And you know, it's so easy to pull through a drive-in and pick up a burger. And you know, it's so easy to get that fast food. Makes it, you know, you're working hard, you're working late, and you throw the slop on the table for the kids, and they go to bed. And life has become such a pace that people are using that fast food, you know, as a mainstream, you know, mainstay for their dietary needs. And we're definitely not putting the good stuff into our bodies, that's for sure.
I think we will. I think it's a change that's occurring slowly.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's really obvious, I guess, is when you look at a crowd shot.
Right.
It doesn't matter who's in the crowd shot. You can just tell there's so many overweight people.
True.
And that has got to not be healthy.
Yeah. True. And if you look at the cave paintings and the cave drawings and the likes, you know, from you know, 20,000 years ago, you never saw a fat person portrayed, ever.
You never saw a fat meat eater.
yeah. You know, you never saw a fat pharaoh. You never saw a, you know, then everybody was within balance, even though they had some other strange proclivities. There was no, obesity wasn't, you know, wasn't as prevalent then as it is now. And I agree with you. I think we are doing ourselves definite harm. I tell you what, Dirk, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let's take a quick break, pause for the cause. And when we come back, we'll get into the UFO side of life a little bit more. And we'll discuss some of your favorite topics from your website and see where that takes us. How's that?
Super. Sounds great.
Okay, hang in now.
This is Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go,
make it so.
Make it so. Make it so. Man,
it doesn't show signs
of stopping. And I brought me some tea, Earl Grey, hot. The
lights
are
turned
way down low.
Make it so.
Make it so. Make it so. When we finally kiss.
Good night.
How I hate going out
in the storm. But if you...
Really?
Shut up, Wesley.
All the way home, I'll be...
Warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying. And I hear...
We're still goodbye, then.
But as long as
you love me so...
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the Terror Chat Network.
The Kepler satellite has identified 2,000 planets orbiting other star systems. So tonight, when you look at the night sky, realize that somebody could be looking back at you. Now, if there is a life form out there, they could be literally millions of years ahead of us. The universe is 13.7 billion years old, so a million years is nothing compared to the age of the universe. And for the most part, I think they're going to be friendly. But if they are hostile, it would be like Bambi meeting Godzilla if we ever had to fight them.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on Terror Chat Radio Network.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Well, realize that if they're that advanced, they can reach the Earth from a distant star. They are already thousands of years ahead of us in technology. And we would present no military challenge to such an advanced civilization. Now realize, for the most part, there are lots of uninhabited planets with resources on them. So if they can reach the Earth, they can certainly reach other planets that are uninhabited. So for the most part, I think they're going to leave us alone. But if one of them is hostile, watch out. We would be a pushover for them. Forget all the Hollywood movies.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Dirk Vandeplerf,
UFODigest.com.
Yeah, that's what you get when you pre-build your brakes and screw up on a name, Dirk. So my sincere apologies, sir. You know, I think one thing and say the other. Typical Englishman, walking and chewing gum at the same time. So, Dirk, have you had many stories coming in regarding the New World Order or the Illuminati? Is that a large, prevalent storyline that comes through your website?
I don't think it's that important of a subject. I have a few writers, though, that concentrate on it, like Tony Elliott. He's a Canadian, and it's a real big thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he also writes about the conspiracies behind weather change and things like that. He's I would call a conspiracy guy.
Right. And the reason I ask is because on our blog, on a Night Talk Radio blog, and Spy Gazette, which we also run, we tend to get flooded every so often with these conspiracy ideas, the New World Order, the Illuminati, the Bilderberg Group, and the likes. And it seems to come in spurts and then disappear for a while and then spurts again. And they always seem to be regurgitated information from several years ago. It never seems to be anything new. It's just the same stuff over and over and over again. I mean, I have heard, I have a file regarding the Obama debacle, and I bet you I have 1,000 stories easily regarding Obama usurping the presidency, being born in Kenya, is a Russian covert agent, is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, is actually trying to bring down the United States. You know, I have these over and over and over and over again, and I mean, when they start flooding a website, they hit hard. They hit hard, and it's really hard to get through the misinformation to get to the true information. Now, that's why I was asking if you got hit hard with the New World Order and Illuminati stuff, because we most certainly do on a regular basis.
What I get hit with is people that don't want to think that extraterrestrials are good guys.
Oh, okay.
I get attacked all the time when I say, well, I think you should really take a look at this and not be like the young people on top of that building in Independence Day that get zapped.
Right.
And
right.
Just don't be out there welcoming these beings until you know what the cost of that is going to be.
And that's
and
why
I write against that. And I get a lot of hate mail for that.
Yeah, and that's why I use that Michikaku soundbite that you heard on the last break there regarding aliens. Like, you know, if they are out there, they are so far ahead of us, not only in their technology, but probably in their way of surviving and life. And the chances are that they are not aggressive, that they could go anywhere else in the universe. We're a blip, and a very small blip in the universe, and you know, they would have no need to come to us unless we had something very, very special that they don't have. And it used to be thought to be water, but now apparently water is abundant all over the universe, so it isn't that anymore. And Michikaku claimed, you know, like, look, these people are so far ahead of us, you know, but if they did decide to do something, we wouldn't be writing about it. It would all be over before we even knew what happened. So when I do get those stories, and I do get those stories too, that, you know, they're coming to take our first newborn and you know, they're going to turn us back into a slave race and this and that. And you know, I do tend to scoff at them a little bit because it gets a little deep, you know.
Have these you seen a movie called Dark Skies?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. Yeah, and a very good movie too,
I'd say.
Yeah.
But it brings up your point that any advanced civilization that would have the ability to get here would be so far more sophisticated and educated.
Yeah.
Technological, that we'd be as if we were the ants or the lab rats to them. They would have as much compassion for us as we would for an ant.
Exactly. You know, it would either be all or nothing. I mean, either they would come bearing gifts in peace, or they would just come and just remove us for whatever their need would be. I mean, it would just be a
blink. But you remember what the idea of that movie was, what the concept of it was, that the war was over.
Yeah.
We were already invaded. They were here.
Yeah.
Aliens are here, and they're as real as death and taxes.
Right.
There's nothing we can do about it.
I'll tell you,
the biggest thing that I've seen over the last 10 years is the rise of cell phones, camera phones, and movie cameras.
Right.
Everybody takes pictures of UFOs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's got to be 1,000 a day. There used to be one a year that was credible. Maybe one a year. And now we're flooded with UFOs, and we're flooded with 99% are still fake. And I don't know how these guys are making these really sophisticated YouTube videos. And it's, like you said before, there's no money in it. Why are they doing it?
Yeah, there's, I mean, you know, I've been in this game nigh on 15, 17 years on and off in various forms. And as you said, when the internet hit, it was like, you know, a gift from God, literally, to be able to get the information out. But to think that you will make money doing it is, you know, if you commercialize to something like a coast to coast, maybe, you know, there's money in it. But, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose. And I always kind of chuckle when I hear a paranormal show and then suddenly you have a commercial for Tampax. It just doesn't relate to me. I just don't get it. I'm a target advertising kind of mentality, you know, keep it to the UFO stuff. You know, I don't want to know about gold. You know, I want to know about how much water we got left. You know, I want to know about global warming or the ice age that's coming, because if they think we've got global warming on our hands, what we're experiencing this season, at least in Canada, is definitely not global warming.
No, it's been incredibly cold the last couple of years.
We haven't
really got a lot of snow, but it has been unseasonably cold, yes.
Yeah, we you know, normally the summers in Calgary, Alberta are spectacular. They may only last maybe 3 months, 4 months at best, but they are spectacular, especially when you go into an Indian summer into the fall.
Right.
It is some of the most incredible landscape and life that you could ask for. But we haven't seen those in about the last 5 to 7 years. And our summers are okay, but they're not what they used to be. In my day, young fella, you know.
That's right.
Things have changed.
I was there about 2005, Edmonton and Calgary.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to Banff and Lake Louise and stuff, and it was phenomenal.
Yes.
And it was like November, but it wasn't really that cold.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, it's usually, you know, it's usually cool in the mornings, and it brightens up during the afternoon and then cools down in the evenings. And, you know, but Lake Louise and Banff and Jasper and through there, my God. I mean, that is as close to heaven as I think I will ever get.
It is absolutely
beautiful. Have you ever been down in Calgary during the Calgary Stampede, Dirk?
No, never made it down there in July. No, haven't.
Well, you should put that down on your bucket list, because, my friend, and until you have experienced 10 days of the Calgary Stampede, after that you realize what it's all about, Alfie. You know, what happens in Calgary stays in Calgary for 10 days.
And, yeah, I can't drink anymore, though.
No, me neither.
Not seriously, anyway.
it almost turns into Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it's just wild. It's a Las Vegas of Canada for 10 days, but it's an experience.
Like Mardi Gras.
Yeah, it's an experience of character, and when I first came to Calgary and experienced that, you know, I thought, okay, it's cowboy, that's it, blah blah blah. But the more I looked at it, and the more I looked around the world, every nation on earth has something similar, in one form or another, and we're always, forever, giving praise and then creating sin, if you understand how I'm coming about this. It's very interesting how we tend to balance ourselves.
That's true. We go from extreme to extreme.
Yeah, we do. And with the UFOs, like you say, there's thousands of pictures being taken every year. But what I'd like to know is, with all of the fantastic photography equipment we have and video equipment, why in the name of God can't we get a clear picture?
Well, I would agree with you 100% till I saw this Watcher 7.
Right.
When L.A. and Dr. What's his name? The guy who takes the implants out.
Oh, yeah.
And they took this picture in Turkey of this UFO. They were looking at the moon, which is a full moon, mm-hmm. and off to the bottom left, I guess, is where they saw this little light, and they managed to zoom in on it with the 300 millimeter lens, and then they had a doubler on that, so it's 600 milliliter or millimeter, and the most phenomenal shot. But what you see in the shot is there's three windows in it, like portals.
Mm-hmm.
And there's aliens standing up, looking back at the camera.
Wow.
These are great.
Wow.
And I've never seen, I've seen the shot of the UFO before, but never the close-up.
And have they tested the picture for any Photoshop?
Have.
Yeah, they've done all that, eh?
Wow,
impressive. Absolutely impressive.
Oh, yeah, it was Dr. Lear. It was Dr. Lear,
that's right. But the... What bothers me is it seems like the more clearer the facts regarding UFO, the more BS that is puked out on the other side to dilute it, if you will.
It's only one country in the world, really, that hasn't opened its UFO files, and that's the United States.
Right.
Almost every other country in the world has.
Yep, yep, absolutely. And in fact,
I mean, it's no secret there's UFOs.
I think it was... I think it was the UK about 5 years ago. They digitized everything to the internet.
Yep.
I mean, there's reports up there, and there's everything up there. And you're right. The United States have not opened up at all. The best they claim was the Blue Book Project, and even that was just a government-designed cover-up.
Yeah, but you're seeing now that a lot of the military... colonels and generals are coming forward saying, oh, yeah, they've known about UFOs for years. They got film on it. They got video of it. They've got photography, audio. They have the proof.
Well, somebody told me years ago that if you are thinking it, then the military already have it and have had it for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
If you are thinking something, it's already there and it's already in production, being tested and the like. So, you know, the UFO phenomenon, I mean, has been around for eons, literally, you know, back
as
into
your
the,
biblical pictures attest. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
And, you know, the 13th and 14th century, you know, some of the paintings and the drawings that were coming out, you know, the Michelangelos of the world and the Nostradamus. The information's there. We just have to decode it and make sense of it, I guess. But,
I think on the Ancient Aliens show, they've actually shown cave paintings with UFOs in the sky.
Yeah, in fact, there was one up in the upper Hebrides, up in Scotland, that they...
Yeah, that's where it was,
Yeah, they anticipated, it's like we're talking 30, 35,000 years ago, and yet here is this gray on the wall looking back at you. And it's like, wow, you know. And so, yeah, I think we have to accept what we're seeing. And I think that's the biggest problem. And it's the cover-up, the subversive information that's been sent out to dilute the truth, I think, is of concern, because I have to ask myself, why would a government hide this? What value would it be to them, unless it's military?
Because of the Brookings Report.
Okay.
Brookings Report was written in the 50s, I think 58, and it basically said you can't release this information because people will start committing suicide, religions will fail, and they'll tear down the government.
Was that done at the same time that FDR signed the official secrets plan, where everything could be called because of the nation's protection, nation secrecy, it would not be released?
That's right, yeah.
Hmm. And that's...
The founding of the Majestic 12,
That's right. And that's
then
unfortunate.
Then Eisenhower took it over.
Exactly. That's unfortunate because Russia and even the most, you know, negative countries in the world have released their information quite openly, and they don't make such a big deal out of it. It's just
they know there's nothing they can do about it. United States has such a big chip on its shoulder that it can't automatically control 100% what's happening within its own borders. That it'll just refuse to acknowledge that they're there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I got to say, one of my favorite movies, and it makes absolutely no sense at all, but one of my most favorite movies is Independence Day.
Right.
For some reason, it really rings a chord with me. It really, you know, it rallies me up, and I'm not American, but it rallies me up as a human being. And yet, at the same time, I can see the falseness of the story. You know, the whole... You know, if we captured aliens in 1947 at Roswell, you can bet your sweet bippy that they would probably have a law in place that they do not leave their own behind. And I think we'd have had our butt kicked right there and then.
Yeah, but they don't, from what I've read. We did capture quite a few of them actually over the years, and they've all died.
Yeah.
Except for the Palladians that are being held in Area 51 right now.
And I read that just recently, too, about the Palladians.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There is some pretty darn factual information regarding, I think that the gentleman was a nurse, or he was some kind of a medical practitioner in Area 51. And he came out with a story, and it made the local news. And then they found him hanging from his back tree.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know,
I hope it's true, but I've heard that story, yes.
Exactly, yeah, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know. So a race of aliens in Area 51, are they helping us, or are they being held against their will?
No, they're helping us, from what I have been led to understand.
Right,
there's
so
a
our
tall
government
Nordic,
is in cahoots.
Tall Nordic, good-looking people, apparently.
Yeah, so they're in cahoots with our governments, basically.
Yeah, I don't know if they're cahoots or they're just not violent.
Right.
These are the type of people that Billy Meyer has claimed to have sole contact with.
Right.
All these years.
Yeah.
That's my only problem with Billy Meyer is the fact that just like these other people who go around claiming that God is speaking to them. He says the Palladians will only speak to him. He's the only person that's ever had contact with the extraterrestrial on Earth. Well, I just don't believe him.
Sounds like an L. Ron Hubbard. You know, sounds like a Scientologist. You know,
yeah.
with their process. Yeah, and it's unfortunate. I also have noticed. I find it very interesting that Hollywood stars, movie stars. And the media famous people always tend to have a regression back to being Cleopatra or Julius Caesar or King David. And I think why couldn't you be Molly the barmaid or Jack the cow dung shoveler, right?
That's right. You had to be somebody really famous, or else you wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that, and I use this quite often when I can't get a hold of somebody. I usually leave a note and I say, I talk to God every day. Why are you so difficult to get a hold of? And I usually get the call back right away. I do talk to God or to my energy every day. There's no doubt about it. And I do believe that I am guided, but I do not believe that God speaks directly to me.
I believe there is a God of the universe, that there is a spirit that started everything and controls everything, but I just don't believe it controls a bird that flies or that falls from a tree or something.
Exactly. I don't think it's every minuscule.
We self-administer ourselves, and we have full will. So.
Yeah, we have free will to make those mistakes, and I believe that. I do believe we were created. I do believe that the heavens and the earth were, an action by a superior being. But
I know we don't have much time today, but do you, you're familiar, and your audience is probably familiar with Lloyd Pye.
Yes. Yes.
And the skull.
Yeah.
What's really interesting about his skull is the fact that it has 23 chromosomes, the same as we do.
Right.
But that all the other animals and plants on the earth have 24 pairs of chromosomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how can we have 23? I talked to a scientist at McMaster University about it, and he claims that the second and third sets or pairs of DNA were corrupted somehow, and that they actually merged together like a cancer. They just formed a malignancy that fused them into one cell, and that explains why we have 23. But if these two genes were deliberately adjusted by the Anunnaki or by some other god or gods in our past, that might explain how we got to be where we are.
And let's face it, we're just starting to be able to manipulate genetically, the genetically modified crops and human beings are even being genetically modified at birth and prior to birth to avoid certain calamities.
Diseases and
Yeah,
you're right. And club feet and things like that, yeah. And, in fact, in the next 20 years, they figure they can cure just about everything before the child is born.
Yeah, exactly.
What a godsend that would be to mothers and fathers and children everywhere.
Wouldn't it just? Dirk, I can't believe we've blown through an hour already, just banged right through there. Obviously, we have much more to say to each other, and I doubt very, very much that we're going to be able to do it in one or two shows. So I would love to contact you again and arrange for something into the new year, and we could continue this discussion where we left off and get a little deeper into that genetic code and the possibility of human manipulation.
Be a pleasure. Love to do it.
Great. Dirk
Van Der... Glad we ended the show on a good uplifting note.
Absolutely. And that's the way it should be always. You know, I'm not into it for the doom and gloom.
No.
I'm into it for the benefit of man. Plain and simple. Dirk Van Der Plug, it's been an absolute pleasure. UFODigest.com, ladies and gentlemen, or UFODigest.ca for specific Canadian information, as I understand it. Fabulous site. You can't go wrong with the information, and you might learn something. Dirk, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your time.
Have a good night. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
And thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, like I say, UFODigest.com. We go to it. It's one of our to-go-to pages for information. There's some incredible writers up there that can bring the information that you're looking for. So to save yourself searching and hurting, trying to find the information that you believe is out there, go to those places like UFO.com. UFODigest.com. Go to those places and check it out. As we come to the top of the hour, moving into the second hour, Dr. Rita Louise, mind, body, and soul healer, best-selling author, right after this.
This is Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. As Night Talk Radio heads into Hour 2, our special guest tonight, Dr. Rita Louise, body, mind, and soul healer. This one, you don't want to miss. Let's take a brief pause for the cause. Reset the board for Hour 2, Dr. Rita Louise, coming up in 2 minutes. Wanting to interact with our guest? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the Terror Chat Network.
I don't know how I'm doing it, but what I found in my work is that I'm just able to look into people's bodies and see what's going on. A lot of the times the people that come to me are people that nothing shows up in their tests, but when you sit there and you start talking to them, you find out a whole lot more.
This is Night Talk Radio on the Terror Channel. Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Our second guest tonight is Rita Louise, body, mind, and soul healer, best-selling author of Medical Intuitive. Dr. Rita Louise is the founder of the Institute of Applied Energetics. Dr. Rita possesses the caliber of knowledge and experience that organizations demand. Dr. Louise infuses every engagement with both credibility and content. She has a unique ability to deliver a serious message through intriguing stories and her own brand of humor. Her high-content presentations and down-to-earth strategies empower and motivate those who hear her. Dr. Rita Louise, next. On Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of paranormal pontification, Colin Knight, and co-host Hugh Mack.
And Hugh Mack is under the weather tonight. He's been fighting the typical flu that's been going around our area, and it seems to might have got the better of him. So we are a little disappointed that Hugh isn't with us, but he will be with us on the next episode. So never fear, Hugh Mack will be here. And we are working on getting Dr. Rita in on the system. Unfortunately, Skype is not exactly cooperating how we would like them to be, but Dr. Rita, if you're out there, call into the show, see if you can dial in, make life a little easier, and if not, I'm going to call you on that other number and see if we can get in touch with you that way. If you would do that, we may have ourselves a winner. In the meantime, in between time, let's just jump to a break. And I'll make another call and see where we can go with this show. How does that sound?
Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network.
I don't know how I'm doing it, but what I found in my work is that I'm just able to look into people's bodies and see what's going on. A lot of the times the people that come to me are people that nothing shows up in their tests, but when you sit there and you start talking to them, you find out a whole lot more.
This is Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network. Hey there, Night Talkers. Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and as we go about our business, many fighting to keep the wolves from the door. Please take time to think of those less fortunate than ourselves. Those who have struggled to survive and may have much less than we have, where a hot coffee or a meal is a beggar's banquet to them. Please take time to give of yourself, maybe winter coats you no longer need that you could donate, or food to the food banks, maybe even just a paid-forward coffee at your drive-thru stop in the morning, or an hour of your time at a homeless shelter or at a food kitchen, or just comforting words and a few shekels to someone begging for change on your streets. But for the grace of God, go I. Do the right thing and help. Help your fellow man. Season's greetings from Night Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of paranormal pontification, Colin Knight, and co-host Hugh Mack. This is Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go,
make it so.
Make it so. Make it so. Ma'am,
it doesn't show signs
of stopping. And I brought me some tea, Earl Grey, hot. The
lights are
turned way down low.
Make it so.
Make it so. Make it so. When we finally kiss.
Good night.
How I hate going out in
the storm.
But if you...
Really?
Shut up, Wesley!
All the way home, I'll be...
Warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying. And I hear...
We're still goodbye, then. But
as long as
you love me so...
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network.
The Kepler satellite has identified 2,000 planets orbiting other star systems. So tonight, when you look at the night sky, realize that somebody could be looking back at you. Now, if there is a life form out there, they could be literally millions of years ahead of us. The universe is 13.7 billion years old, so a million years is nothing compared to the age of the universe. And for the most part, I think they're going to be friendly. But if they are hostile, it would be like Bambi meeting Godzilla if we ever had to fight them.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Well, realize that if they're that advanced, they can reach the Earth from a distant star. They are already thousands of years ahead of us in technology. And we would present no military challenge to such an advanced civilization. Now realize, for the most part, there are lots of uninhabited planets with resources on them. So if they can reach the Earth, they can certainly reach other planets that are uninhabited. So for the most part, I think they're going to leave us alone. But if one of them is hostile, watch out. We would be a pushover for them. Forget all the Hollywood movies.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And you know, there are days and there are days. And this is one of those on-air live days that all hosts dread. Dr. Rita Louise, we've been unable to contact her via the methods that we had prearranged. Rita Louise is a best-selling author and medical intuitive. Dr. Rita Louise is founder of the Institute of Applied Energetics. That organization is pretty impressive. She possesses the caliber of knowledge and experience that many organizations demand in today's fast-paced society. Dr. Louise infuses every engagement with both credibility and content, and she has a unique ability to deliver a very serious message through intriguing stories and her own brand of humor. Her high-content presentation and down-to-earth strategies empower and motivate many who have managed to hear what she has to say. And we have attempted to contact Dr. Rita Louise over the last 2 years, and our calendars finally synced up tonight, or we thought they had. And unfortunately, Skype has not cooperated to allow us to make connection. So hopefully, if Dr. Rita is out there listening out on the internet, we do invite you to make an attempt to call in on Skype to 347-324-3287. That's 347-324-3287. because it is important that we speak to you and find out exactly what's going on, because the information that you bring to the table is almost invaluable in piecing together how our world and how everything does come together.
The Kepler satellite has identified 2,000 planets orbiting other star systems. So tonight, when you look at the night sky, realize that somebody could be looking back at you. Now, if there is a life form out there, they could be literally millions of years ahead of us. The universe is 13.7 billion years old, so a million years is nothing compared to the age of the universe. And for the most part, I think they're going to be friendly. But if they are hostile, it would be like Bambi meeting Godzilla if we ever had to fight them.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Well, realize that if they're that advanced, they can reach the Earth from a distant star. They are already thousands of years ahead of us in technology. And we would present no military challenge to such an advanced civilization. Now realize, for the most part, there are lots of uninhabited planets with resources on them. So if they can reach the Earth, they can certainly reach other planets that are uninhabited. So for the most part, I think they're going to leave us alone. But if one of them is hostile, watch out. We would be a pushover for them. Forget all the Hollywood movies.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And it is truly unfortunate that we have been unable to get in touch with Dr. Rita Louise, PhD. The information that Dr. Rita would have brought to the table would have been invaluable. But never fear, what we will do is we will reschedule Dr. Rita Louise, possibly tomorrow evening or sometime earlier in next week. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close out the show. We will be back at another space in time, and hopefully we'll be able to bring you the information at hand.
Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition. This has been a TerraChat Network production.